And I will just basically mention those main points that I have prepared and maybe illustrate them a little bit or enlarge upon them. Genuine faith expresses itself, first of all, in obedience. Obedience. The words of God were still ringing in the ears of Abraham, and he was already looking around, where's the shovel, where's this, where's that? I'm moving. Where are you moving, Abraham? I don't know, but I'm moving. God said, I gotta leave. Not knowing, it says there in the Bible, he got out not knowing where he was going. Instead of going west where he ended up, he was going north. he was already preparing to go. And so he took his wife, he took his also Lot, his nephew, and also Terah, the father. Four of them moved together. But the point, important point is that genuine true faith expresses itself in obedience. We have in the Bible the opposite example. May I hear the name of that guy? Jonah. Jonah, said God, I want you to go to Nineveh. Got some people there that need the knowledge of true God. Why don't you be my missionary? Why don't you be man that will do that? And Noah said, oh, Lord, I'm so glad you're talking to me. I'm moving right now. No. He goes out. I see it in my mind. He finds a secluded place, and he sits on the rock, and he starts to reason. Should I go? Or should I stay? Oh, by the way, there's a song like that I heard on the radio. Should I go or should I stay? Should I go? How can I go there? These are people that are not our own. There's a big tension between them and us. And should I go there and they will repent? And I don't want that to happen. Jealousy there. Well, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get me a ticket, get on a boat, and I'm going to go away from this situation. So that's exactly what he does. He goes to the seaport, buys a ticket, hops on a boat, and he's moving finally. Ho-ho, I'm moving west on the Mediterranean Sea. Yeah, enjoying the ride. You know what, friends? If you are disobedient to the will of God, you will not enjoy the ride. Because God knows way too much. He's omniscient. And what does he do? He sends a storm. Ship is slowing down. The kinetic energy of the boat is reduced. There's a trouble. There's rocking back and forth. And we can go on and on, try to describe the situation. But the important point here is this. God knows how to deal with disobedience. And at the end, Jonah is grabbed and out the board. But God's not finished. There's a big mouth waiting for him. It was a miraculous, I tell you. Some Bible critics will say, how in the world can a person survive in the belly of the fish under the water when all the juices already meeting you and trying to decompose your flesh? I mean, that's what happens when we eat the food, right? Something rushes to it and wants to break it apart, right? And suck the nutrients out of it. What's going to happen with the flesh of Jonah? God will preserve it. Yeah. You know, it's a funny thing about this omnipotence of God as far as the unbelievers are concerned. They would ask you, well, is God omniscient? You will answer, yes, of course. You don't believe in God that is somewhat limited in his power. Because if God was limited, you don't have a God. Either he is omnipotent or not. Or he is partially able to do things. So the skeptic will come to you, you believe that God is omnipotent? He says, I do. And he'll say, okay, tell me this. Can God create such a heavy, 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 heavy rock that he cannot lift it up? And they think they're so smart. Can he create such a heavy, heavy rock that he cannot lift up? Notice the trap set before you. You say, yes, he can. But you fail to understand that he cannot lift it up. See, you got a problem instantly at the point of the omnipotence of God. But how would you respond to that? Well, I would take what they taught me in geometry or mathematics. Two lines, x, y. This one would be the weight of the rock. This is God's ability to lift it up. Notice, x and y go ad infinitum. There's no limit to it. So now you figure out at what point you want to stop as far as the weight of the rock is concerned. No problem. You trace the line there, you trace the line down, God can lift it up. Well, maybe it's not heavy enough, so you go further up. You draw the lines, come down. Yes, he can. Ad infinitum, he is infinite one. Hallelujah. Isn't he? Yes, he is. So, friends, obedience is one thing. And the second thing is it gives us ability to go through the turbulences of life. I don't want to go through life, through turbulences of life, without faith. That would be hard. I had some of them in my life. Not too many, thank God, but I had some. One of those that really was very turbulent is when my daughter was pronounced with the breast cancer. Huh? You a father. What you gonna do? What are you going to do? Well, you would see me on my knees a lot at that time. At the time when she was pronounced with the breast cancer, her friend also was pronounced with a breast cancer. Today, her friend is already in grave. I, thank God, can enjoy my daughter still. I'm not saying that she was a Christian too. Therefore, I don't understand why my daughter lives and the other one is dead. Like, oh yes, she died and she is with the Lord. She was a good Christian. My is still here. And I enjoy the fellowship with the Lord. I don't want to go into the details of the situation, but all I am trying to underscore is the fact when that happened, I was on my knees quite a bit, praying about the situation as a father. I had to. But for me, that was a turbulence that I had to endure. If I didn't believe in God, that would be a trouble. All right, I will go there, leave this, and go to the last one. Faith allows us, helps us to live in a context of eternity. You heard this song, this home, this world is not my home. I'm only passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's other shore. And what was the end? I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Friends, listen carefully. There was a time that Christians lived with this awareness that they are only sojourners in this world. If so, why do we grow our roots deep into the temporal reality, into this present reality? Why are we so involved in things that are material, that are transient, that are only here for a while? Why are they so important to us as a believers? I'm not saying stop working, because Paul will tell us, you are loafers. You shouldn't do that. You should find work. We ought to work so that we can feed our bodies and also give to others. Yes, we have responsibility in this present reality that wise Solomon calls under the sun. But our heart cannot be in it. Why not? Because you're a person of faith. You are to live in the context of eternity. Did you hear what I was reading? Abraham had the opportunity to go back to Ur of Chaldees. He had a lot of difficulties there in a promised land, but he didn't, because he lived in the context of the, what did we read? The new city, hallelujah, whose builder and maker is God, and that's where you headed, and that's where you headed. This is point of our focus, not this temporal reality. If it is, you better examine your faith, my friend, because biblical, healthy, noble faith of the Bible causes you to live in the context of eternity. Hallelujah. And that's how Abraham lived. He was looking forward toward the city whose builder and maker is God. We could write a book about the value of faith, even basing it on the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. But when you take the whole Bible, my goodness, you can write several volumes. Faith is important. We want to please God. Therefore, we must allow the Holy Spirit to generate it within us. We must study the scripture. It also enhances the faith within us, the good kind of faith. I have another friend at work. He's so saturated with conspiracy theories, it's sick to look at him. At first, he used to walk through the window at lunchtime. We couldn't understand why. Then we asked him, well, I'm looking through the window because the rays from the sun are altering my DNA. What? The way the rays of the sun that go through me, they are changing, modifying my DNA. He saw our response, so he doesn't have a lunch with us. He goes outside, and with his lunch, he walks around outside, absorbing the rays of the sun, so they can change, modify his DNA. Friends, we live in a world where so many people, even Christians, are swallowing conspiracy theories that are not biblical, that have nothing to do with biblical faith. We gotta know about that so that we keep ourselves pure before our God. Hallelujah. Anyways, there are many things, many other characteristics of the biblical faith, but maybe we'll have sermon number two. I know. All right, so let's go to the communion. I don't know how you do it here, but we'll divide the congregation in two. Please come, take the emblems, the bread, and the juice that symbolize the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Take them both at the same time. Return to your seat, and we will partake together, all right, as a body of Christ. Hallelujah. This used to be one piece, but now it's broken, symbolizing the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. as you continue to approach the table, I will read my favorite passage from the book of Hebrews that talks about the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ and benefits that follow it. It's in chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews, the remaining portion of that chapter, starting with verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children, that means you and I, the brothers and sisters of Jesus, our brother talked to us about it, and then children have partaken of the flesh and blood, simply meaning that we are humans. He himself, that means Jesus, likewise shared in the same. We are talking about the first coming of Jesus and the story of his birth. He partook of the same that through death he might, listen to that, destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. I like it. I love it. Jesus came to this world, took upon himself the human flesh, in which he died as a perfect Lamb of God, so that he could defeat our worst enemy, i.e. the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Yeah, the bondage comes. We were learning about freedom today in Sunday school. Yeah, freedom, true freedom comes through Calvary. Hallelujah. To the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That is the true freedom. Apostle Paul called himself doulos tou theou, the servant of God, slave of God. But within the bracket of slavery, he was a free man. Nobody outside of Calvary or appropriating Calvary by faith is truly free. Don't think any other way. True freedom is in Calvary, not in Calgary. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels. Yeah, he was concerned with humankind when he came here. But he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren. I mean, people. That he had to be a man. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for sins of the people. Hallelujah. Jesus is your high priest, not any other priest. I don't care who they think. Yes, man is important, and he can lead you to the high priest, but at the end, it is a high priest that you need. He works on your behalf. He knows you and your needs. Draw to him, to the throne of grace, with full assurance that you won't be rejected. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. In Jesus, in other words, you have all you need. Hallelujah. So, now to the familiar passage, 26 of Matthew. And I will read. All right. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Let's eat. Then He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Let's drink. Father in heaven, we thank you for the perfect plan of salvation in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, we thank you for your obedience and willingness to come, take upon yourself human flesh, in which you died as a perfect sacrifice at the cross of Calvary. Because of that, we have eternity in your presence. Hallelujah. And not only that, we have your presence while we're here on earth. We have everything we need. We are so rich in the spiritual realm. Oh yes, we might not have everything in the physical realm, but in spiritual, oh, we are rich. And all this is because of the blood of Jesus Christ and the perfect sacrifice on the cross. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for what we have in you. Amen. Sorry for being a little bit, preaching a little bit too long. But you see me only once a year, so you